Our friend Joel, but Joel Wood is here with us today, and his middle name is Tough. I gave him a new middle name, Tough. He's a tough guy. Yep.
Oh, that's a cool name.
Yeah, it is. It is now. I forget what I was going to say now. So we do a Facebook video. We're live streaming now because we have one or two, like Dottie is not able to come. So we have a couple people watch online typically. And so you can catch that later if you miss one. And also, I'm recording on this little recorder, and one of the ladies in the church uploads it to our Facebook or our website. So there's a couple different ways you can watch or listen if you miss this. So, hey, Kevin. But I think what I was going to say is part of the reason that the Jews missed their Messiah was because they were looking for a king to come in and relieve them of the Roman oppression. And but Jesus came the first time as a gentle Savior, didn't he? I mean, he would heal the sick and give sight to the blind and help the lame to walk, and he would teach God's word, and he willingly laid down his life, and he's the picture of the Old Testament sacrifice, sacrificial lamb, like the children of Israel were led out of Egypt by the blood of the lamb. But this picture kind of represents, but his second coming is going to be the conquering king. You know, he's coming for judgment and righteousness, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And so some of Revelation is about that. And I thought it was interesting, you know, I think it's in Romans 9 where it says that God has put his focus on the Gentile church partly to make Israel jealous. Because, you know, right now we are saved by grace through faith, right? Can we say amen to that? And so we're thankful for God's grace and his goodness. We don't have to endure to the end to be saved. We can be saved today, now, by grace through faith in Christ's finished work on the cross. But so the Jews, you know, they rejected their Messiah. So part of this tribulation is to purge them and bring them to repentance and to help them realize that Jesus is their Messiah and he is coming again for his own at the rapture of the church. And I think what I forgot my mouse, but I'm going to see if I think I've got this here. It's not that. I think I've got your chart, Jim. Let me see if I got it here. Yeah. Now this is a chart that Jim did, and it's very instructive. Let's see if I can. Jim got his famous pointer here. So, from the cross of Christ to Revelation, so the church age happened between the cross and the rapture. So this arrow represents the rapture of the church, and Christians will be in heaven with the Lord while these things are going on planet Earth. And so, let's see if I can. I'm afraid to mess it up, but so. Right now here in Revelation 6, we're studying about these seals. And it's really cool. I'll come back to this. But I know I've showed you this picture of this scroll with seven seals. And I think this is a good depiction because in chapter 5, chapter 5 of Revelation, it talked about this book with seven seals that nobody was worthy to open except the Lamb that was slain. And so so what we're looking at in Revelation 6 is that these seals are being opened. And Brother TJ brought me, some of you know he works at the title office here at the courthouse in Harrisonville. Harrisonville is the county seat for Cass County. And so this is an example. Jim mentioned it's a document from 1852. And it has a seal here. And we don't know if this is wax or not, but it's kind of holding down a ribbon. And so you would have to break this seal to open this ribbon. And I don't know if this is, I mean, this one hasn't been broken, but anyway, it's a reference to like an army or guy or something. It's a land grant to somebody from the army. And
yeah, they would section off land to give to people as payment for being in the army.
Wow. So yeah, so I was so glad he was able to find that. So this is kind of a modern day version of maybe a king with a wax ring. And so
I contrast it with now how many homeless veterans we have. You know, so they used to give them land for being in the army, and now they're homeless.
Wow. Yeah. Huh. So that's a little piece of history there that is very kind of humbling to look at or to have in your possession there. So these seals, as they are opened, each one is like a opening like a movie scene, because whenever these are open, one of the four beasts, they come and see. And the first is this rider on a white horse. And let's see, let's look at our handout here. So most of this first page is kind of a review. My thesis for this whole study has been, you know, what we believe about the future should impact how we live today. And, you know, it's really hard to identify. You know, we're sitting here in a class that's well lit. We have electricity, we have air conditioning, we have phones. And so some of these things that we're talking about, some of these things that we take for granted, you know, will be no more. And so, you know, last week we talked about these four horsemen of the apocalypse. And one of the things that I heard this week, they were debating on whether these things happen sequentially or, you know, all at the same time. And I think the answer is that there is some overlap. You know, some things may be going on while some of the other things are being revealed. But I had you put the word seals in your first blank. So my point here is Revelation is not given in chronological order. There's actually four endings. And like this chart that Jim has, it shows these four. And so as we get there, so chapter 6 through 8 talk about the seals. And we're going to try to finish chapter 6 today. And Jim's got them laid out here. This, you may not be able to read, but this is the white horse with, it's some kind of peace agreement, a red horse for war, a black horse for famine, a pale horse, the peace is broken, the fifth seal is martyrs, the sixth seal is earthquakes and darkness, and the seventh seal is silence in heaven for about a half hour. So those are the seals that we're talking about. We went through these first four last week. We're going to try to do these two today, 5 and 6. But then when we get to chapter 8, it's going to start talking about trumpets and woes. And so Jim's got the trumpets there, maybe in the second half of the tribulation. We call this 7-year period, year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We call this the 7-year tribulation period. And in Bible terminology, it's like 1 week. It's a week of years. So there's 7 years, but it's 1 week, and we call it the tribulation period. And the last half is called the Great Tribulation. So that's really what we're talking about today. And then some people call this personages, but there's seven players that are mentioned. And then there's seven vials that are being poured out. So these are kind of like four different accounts of Christ's second coming. And again, it's purging the nation of Israel. And anyway, Jim, you did a great job with that chart. I mean, that's pretty cool. I don't know if there's comments.
If you can make copies like that,
yeah.
Those are great.
Those yeah. Yeah, I will. I will give that out. And I gave, I think we might have, we still have some of the first, we have some, if you don't have one of our, this is the representative of these first three chapters of Revelation. And so I'll make some of these for this. Thank you, Pat.
I did have a question. So if we believe that Revelation is not in chronological order, does that affect the chronological order of the rapture happening before all of this?
No. What we're looking at is, you know, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, they all refer to Christ's first coming. But yet they happen, you know, some of the stories are recorded in each, I think there's at least several of the miracles are mentioned in all four Gospels. So that's kind of what we're saying about this is Christ was only born once. He was born in a manger. And about 30 years old, he got baptized and started his ministry of 3.5 years. So we're saying that once the rapture takes place, that's going to start these events happening, kind of like his first coming.
Okay.
So that's a good question. And there is what they call this a tribulation rapture. Like there's an angel that casts his sickle into the earth, and he does harvest some tribulation saints here. And I think it's in chapter 13, or we'll talk about that a little bit more. But there is kind of a second thing there. So no, that's a good question. Well, let's look at. So I got those listed on there. And one thing I've studied before is kind of this prophecies of a horse and a rider. And some of that is reference to Pharaoh and his armies being drowned in the Red Sea as they were pursuing the Israelites out of Egypt. So, and then I did find a picture here I kind of liked. I don't know if you'll be big enough to see or not. These four horsemen. Anyway, it kind of shows the white horse has got a bow. We looked at this last week. The white horse and the rider here, him went forth to conquer and conquering, but he kind of conquers by peace, and so that's that first 3.5 years. This first 3.5 years is kind of peace before the covenant is, the peace treaty is broken. And then the second horse is red, and there's bloodshed, and he's got a sword. And the third one had this balance because he's measuring out a penny for wheat and barley, or whatever they measured out. So they're rationing food. We said that represents famine. And then the pale rider also had a sword, and we said that represented pestilence. And even on your handout there, I gave you a verse. Let's see. Let's read letter E and F together. Each of these seals are prophesied by Christ in Matthew 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. So that's the false Christ, that's the Antichrist, that's the white horse, and shall deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. That's the red horse. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. That's the black horse. We've seen in Lamentations that black represented famine, and pestilences. That was death and hell bringing those pestilences. And then it says, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And then I even gave you an Old Testament reference from Ezekiel. It says, for thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. So I thought that was a good reference. So some of these are spoken about even in the Old Testament. And we see that coming to pass. And one of the things I did this week, I listened to like a guy that's got a podcast, and he was, and I don't know your church or religious history, but you know, I grew up in a church and they talked a lot about the Greek and Hebrew, and they brought in a preacher who'd been to seminary, and he talked about, you know, concordances and commentaries, and it was very high level, and I hope that I'm presenting the Word of God somewhat simplistic, somewhat that we can understand. That really all we need is the Word of God, amen. And just to reference Scripture with Scripture, and so I try to do that. But you know, he talks about, you know, this is a metaphor for that, and this is symbolic for that, and you know, this is apocryphal language, and just like big $25 words. And after I got done listening, I thought, well, I don't know if I learned anything. So anyway, he just referenced a lot of other scholars, and this guy says that, and this guy makes a case for that, and so anyway, there is a place for scholasticism and maybe higher learning, but don't lose sight of, you know, Christ wants us to come to Him as a child, doesn't He? Like childlike faith. And so, what were you thinking, Tom?
I wasn't thinking much. I was just wondering what you had for points on Bill.
On letter D. Yeah. So this is a. So part of the reason I listened to some of these other sermons or read, I don't know if I read any commentaries this week, but oftentimes I miss stuff going through. So one of the guys I listened to this week said, you know, it's actually one of the four beasts that introduce each of these seals, like come and see this beast. So I wanted to go back and say that, each horse introduced by John, by the four beasts, are probably cherubims.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
One has a man head, one has an eagle head.
Yes.
A bull head, I think.
Yeah, a calf or an ox, yeah. And an eagle.
Yes.
And that's from Ezekiel sees these four living creatures. He says, this is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river Chebar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. So anyway, and then one of the things I left you with last week, and I had a couple different people thought this was interesting, was these four horsemen, this white and red and black, and we said that the pale horse, the word pale was also translated green. So I added one, had Jim add one thing this week. And there's our Life Issues group.
Yeah.
My computer's so slow. I had a guy lined up to look at my computer. Finally, he referred me to the Geek Squad. I don't know if they're...
Yeah.
Are they any good?
Yeah, they're good.
Is that through Best Buy?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was my next step. I'm going to have them... So this is Egypt. I'll go through these fairly fast, but I want you to see that all of Israel's neighbors have these colors in their flag. And so it's really kind of remarkable. I think that's Iran. That's Iraq. That's Jordan, their next door neighbor. Kuwait. Lebanon, that's right to the north. Amman. They got some weapons in their sword and their flag. There's Saudi Arabia. They got a sword. There's Syria. That's Turkey. So that's Asia Minor. Yemen. And the United Arab Emirates. And then look at this flag. This is the one that we added. This is Israel. So it don't have the black or the green or the red. It's just, it's got blue and white. So anyway, I thought that was kind of cool just to run through those again. And all those are Muslim nations. And so that's what I had you put in your next blank. Your teaching point there, the colors of these horses line up with Israel's Muslim neighbors. And then at the bottom of your chart, the bottom of your page, I think I just had you put the word silence. Is everybody in Revelation? We're going to look at the last half of Revelation 6 today. And I wanted you to see... Kevin, you're almost there. Kevin, would you turn, or you got it, Carol?
I got it.
Would you actually read chapter 8 and verse 1?
Yeah.
Revelation 8:1. I want you to see the seventh seal.
You said 8:1?
Yeah, 8:1.
And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in the heaven about the space of half an hour.
Yeah. So that's where we get this silence in heaven. And I'll just tell you right now, I'm not sure what that means, that there's silence in heaven. But that is the seventh seal. But now go back to chapter 6, and we'll look at these other two seals. The fifth seal is the soul of the martyrs. And the sixth seal is going to be terror and chaos right at the end of the tribulation. So let me read Revelation 6 and verse 9. Actually, Kevin, you want to read that? You were going there. 7:9 or 6:9.
And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony in which they held.
So under the altar, so there's an altar in heaven, and John, when they open this fifth seal, he sees under the altar some souls that were slain there, and it's for the word of God and the testimony which they held. And if you were to look back at chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, let's look back at Revelation 1, verse 9 and 10. You got it, Tom? Read 9 and 10 of chapter 1.
John, who also in your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet.
Yeah, so in verse 9 there at the end of it, Tom read, he was being punished for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Kevin read in chapter 6, verse 9, that this fifth seal, under the altar, the souls of them were slain for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. And let's see, I don't know if I can pull this up here. Might be able to. No. Let me see if I can find it. I think I showed this picture before. I should have saved it a different place. Because the book of Revelation, there it is. The book of Revelation, or the book of Hebrews, talks about that Moses, he designed the tabernacle from the heavenly tabernacle. And so there's a tabernacle in heaven, and you know that's what in Revelation 1, I believe it talked about. No, it was Revelation 4. The seven spirits of God, they're there, and that represents this seven-pronged candlestick. And so, if we think about us being here on planet Earth, and we know there's a heaven around us where the birds fly, that's called the first heaven. And then there's a heaven where the stars and the moon and the sun are, and they call that the second heaven. But there's a third heaven where it's the abode of God. It's heavenly Jerusalem. It's called Mount Zion, the city of the great king. And so up there is a tabernacle. And so we usually think of this earthly tabernacle here. And so there's actually two altars in this tabernacle. So what John sees is the heavenly tabernacle. But I want you to at least consider... Oop, it's not coming up there, is it? Still on... Was the other picture up there, the heavenly? Oh, it didn't change? Man, oh, you know what? I think I have to shut off the PowerPoint. I'm sorry. There. So this is what I was trying to show you. Sorry about that. So this we've showed this in here before. And I know this is maybe new to Joel, maybe to others, but we have the first heaven where the birds fly and the clouds are, and then we have a second heaven where the sun and the moon and the stars are, and then the third heaven is the abode of God. It's sometimes called the heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion. And there's a heavenly host there. And anyway, I kind of like that. It's hard to maybe accurately draw things. But anyway, there's a tabernacle up there that Moses patterned his tabernacle off from. So this is now a picture of like the tabernacle of Moses. Here. lost the tabernacle.
It's in your heart.
You go the other way. There it is. So there is an altar of incense here. And we'll see that represents prayers that are ascending up to heaven. But behind the veil, the most holy place, we said that represented like God's throne, where the throne of God was. But you enter the tabernacle from the east, and you have to go through this altar of burnt offerings. And so I know TJ had asked last time kind of about who these saints are that are under the altar. And I kind of wanted to give a little lead into it to show that in the Old Testament, and I gave you a bunch of references there, that after they killed the animals, they would, before they presented the burnt offering, they would pour their blood at the base of the altar. So it was kind of at the blood would kind of run under the altar. And so those innocent animals that died for the guilty sinners were all pictured, you know, Christ. But here in the tribulation period, and kind of the answer to TJ's questions is that these saints, and maybe I think I lost Jim's thing, but these saints are all the people that have died from the rapture to the fifth seal. So for these first four seals, whoever died by not taking the mark of the beast, yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Not to get too deep, but when the church goes out in chapter 4,
yeah,
the earth is now put into an Old Testament situation. That covenant comes back and forth. They've got the temple, they're doing sacrifices. I mean, they're in an Old Testament world when we're gone. So,
yeah.
The souls under the altar are, like I said, the people that died between chapter 4 and.
Yeah, chapter 6, verse 9, yeah. By the fifth seal. And then, we're all here in Revelation. Let's go back to Revelation 20 for a minute. Just a few pages to the right. And if somebody could read chapter 20, verse 4.
And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they have lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years.
Yeah, so these souls that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. So the form of capital punishment is decapitation. So that's what I had you put in your next blank on the back of your page. But their blood is crying out for vengeance. They died kind of innocently, just like the animals for the burnt offering in the Old Testament. So now back to Revelation chapter 6. And we got a few minutes here, but let's get through 9 to the end of the chapter. But notice in verse 10, chapter 6, verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" So these are people who have not taken the mark of the beast. They've endured to the end. And so the things leading up to here, you know, and again, we'll take another run at all these things, you know, talking about the mark of the beast coming up not too many weeks. But they are seeking vengeance, and they're given white robes. And one of the things, just in my reading, I think it was in Luke 8 or 9 this week, I read about the Mount of Transfiguration where Christ was transfigured before them, and his clothes became glistening, and I think one of them says that he was white. So these saints here get these white robes and... Yeah, in verse 11, it says, "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So,
do you think that's the same little season period as Satan's little season?
Ah, it does say little season. That's a good question. That is a good... It's the same wording, isn't it?
I do have another question.
Okay.
On the mark of the beast, if we are raptured out before that, then we shouldn't be scared to look for that mark or take that mark now. Right? So, yeah.
And it's kind of like the red heifer. You know, we're all excited about the red heifer sacrifice. The Jews are wanting to start the sacrifices. They want to get the tabernacle up and running again, the temple. We're not going to be here to see it, but we see the, you know, just like the birth pain, just like the mark. We're going to see, I think we'll know who he is before we go, but we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I saw a paper just yesterday where one of the, there was like three red heifers left.
Yeah, down to three.
Yeah, one of them, I guess, became old enough or whatever.
Yes,
and so they actually did they practiced the sacrifice of the body of it.
To see how much ashes it'll make and how much wood they need to do. Yeah, so that's cool stuff.
I thought for them to practice on a blemished animal was kind of real.
Yeah, they did that about 3 years ago with a cow. So yeah, it's getting close. I mean, we're in like the 9th month.
Yeah. So what these guys are talking about is that in order to sanctify the priest for, so back up just a little bit. The Antichrist is going to set in the temple of God, showing that he is God. So the Bible implies that there has to be a third temple built in order for the Antichrist to set in it. And in order for there to be a temple, there are going to have to be priests that are... And in order to sanctify the priest, there has to be the ashes of a red heifer have to be a burnt sacrifice, the ashes collected, put into water, and the priest sprinkled with that water to sanctify them for the work of the tabernacle, the temple. So a guy in Texas has raised... I think there was originally like 5 red heifers that were shipped to Israel. There's 4 still there. And Robert Breaker, he's got a video. He went there to Israel and he saw them. And I don't think you're allowed to touch them. But I think, like you said, one of them is aged out. They got to be within 3 years old. And so there's still 3 that are... qualify, so they can't have one white hair. There's no blemish. So they inspect them with like a magnifying glass, and they separate their hair, and so it's a whole big deal.
Because it's been since Moses was the last time this was done. They've been trying to do this since Moses. He did the last one.
Yeah.
And that long, we've had no red heifers.
Yeah. So yeah, everybody's antennas up. I heard this. So a long time ago, I heard that it would take about 3.5 years to build a temple.
Yeah, and see, they can't even. They've got to sanctify the workers. They can't pick up a hammer until the guy has been sanctified by his ashes.
Yeah.
So as soon as they get this heifer sacrificed, they start.
But one of the things I heard this week is that they've got all the stones. They said that now they can build the temple in 3 days.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they've got like all the...
They've got everything put together in one place.
Yeah. I've heard they've got...
What happened to, like, Dolly and the cloning of that red heifer? I can't they were going that route for a while.
Yeah, that was back in the...
This is also one of the reasons for October 7th, the invasion.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, the Palestinians believed this so much that they invaded Israel back then and did all of that stuff. They take it very
seriously. Yeah, the red heifer was the part of the timing of October 7th. That, and that was over a year ago, right?
Yeah, they found the actual threshing floor down from the actual from the mosque, didn't they?
Yeah, it's in the
room. I've heard that, yeah. So let me give you a little, this will... And this kind of adds to your question from last week, TJ. So here in 2 Thessalonians, where it's talking about the Antichrist, where it says, verse 8, "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth." That's the valley of, that's the battle of Armageddon there. "And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." And then verse 10 is what I want us to see. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion." So after the rapture, God is going to send a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And then verse 12, "that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And so, and this is my belief about verse 12 there, that if you miss the rapture and you've heard the gospel and you rejected it, you're going to receive this lie and you're going to be damned. You don't really have another chance. But, you know, to this day, if there's 8 billion people on planet Earth, there's probably a couple billion that have never heard the gospel, never heard about Jesus Christ. So those are the ones that missed the rapture because they haven't heard the gospel. But those that have heard and rejected it, they're going to receive the lie that they're going to be damned, it says there. It says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. So I feel like people in this church or that, you know, we teach the gospel pretty regular basis that Christ loves you and He died for you and He was buried and He rose again the third day. And if you ask Him into your life, you can receive forgiveness of sins and be saved. And so that is the gospel. So those people that are under the altar are part of those 2 billion that have never heard. I heard this week that about 25% of the world are Christians, and that's probably a loose terminology. I would doubt if it's that many. But so let's say 2 billion people go up at the rapture. That leaves 6 billion people here, and maybe a couple billion of them haven't heard the gospel, and so some of them are going to be slain because they don't receive the mark of the beast. You know, there's famine and war and all these things. So anyway, that's a little bit of reference of what we're talking about. So all these things are pretty, I mean, part of it seems way out there and part of it seems real close at hand too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then verses 12 through 17, we'll try to get through this in 10. I got to meet a guy at a quarter after here. So look at Revelation 6 and 12 through 14. If I can get somebody to read that. Jaime, do you have that, brother? Revelation 6, verse 12 through 14.
"And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black, and sat over here, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fine castle with too many pies, when she is checked of mighty wine, wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and yet every mountain and island were moved out of their places."
Okay, and what we're talking about here is about things about nature. you know, the book of Romans talks about that all, I put the verse there on your handout, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And you know, our weather system hasn't tracked, you know, hurricanes and floods and all those things, you know, much more than 100 years or so. But I think you can even show kind of scientifically how, you know, weather patterns are kind of escalating. I mean, there's more volcanoes, there are more, you know, earthquakes, there's more tornadoes, there's more flooding. And so the earth itself, and so it mentions that it's groaning like a woman in travail. And the thing about a woman in travail is, you know, her birth pains become more intense and closer together until she gives birth, right? So, you know, it may come within, you know, a few days of her starting to get birth pains and her water breaking, and then, you know, so nature is like that too, before the return of Christ. And so, you know, Jaime read some things that are just epic in proportion, aren't they? That the stars of heaven fall even as a fig tree. So it's one of the guys I was listening to, I believe he's right, that I mean, he thinks that some of these earthquakes cause the, you know, plates of the earth to shift. He thinks it's like a polar, like an axis shift of the earth. And some of us used to be part of a ministry called the Gospel in the Stars, and Pat's going to remember this. Do you remember this thing? And I don't know how many times I've even looked at it, but it can basically show you, you know, depending on the month and the time of the day, you can kind of rotate this and see which stars are overhead tonight. And I think you're supposed to do it like this, like it shows a little arrow pointing northward. So if that's north, you're supposed to look at it like this. And in the Western Hemisphere, you know, certain times you'd see certain stars. And but so when it says, so if there is a polar shift of the axis of the earth and it wobbles, I think the Bible even referenced like it staggers like a drunken person.
If you show the sun and where it goes like this, like a wavelength.
Yeah. And I'll pass this around, but you know, there's a lot of Old Testament references that mentions, you know, the sun not giving her light, and it even mentions the moon becomes red, and we've all heard of a blood moon. And then here's another interesting thought.
I'd love a deep dive.
Yeah.
Deep dive on NASA.
Uh-huh.
NASA.
Yeah.
I'd love a deep dive on that and how that counteracts with the Bible. You know, it's in the Bible. So Hebrew word for NASA is deception, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've seen that.
The word NASA means deception?
Yeah, it's in Hebrew.
Oh, my goodness. I did not know that either. I wanted to show this verse that we read here. And again, does everybody see here verse 13? And the stars of heaven fell. I want to click on this word stars because it and this doesn't surprise anybody. It means astro, like. So it could not only just mean like a star falling. And all of us have seen shooting stars, right? And shooting stars are just like meteors. And I think a meteor may be like a broken piece of an asteroid. So I want you to see that this word that's translated star comes from aster, like an asteroid. So, you know, John is, you know, seeing that that there's some disturbance, and the main So I think literally that's what he's seeing. Some kind of asteroid showers, or maybe the rotation of the earth is off, but I think what he's, the meaning behind this is from Revelation 12, and I don't know if I put that. Yeah, look at my teaching point there. Since star, what did we say that stars represent in Revelation 1:20? Who can tell me? They represented angels. So John sees these stars fall, and it's a reference, I believe, to the fallen angels that are being cast out of the second heaven into the earth, and that's what happens in Revelation 12:9. So, anyway, I wanted to, regardless,
heaven, huh? The second heaven.
Yeah, they're already cast out of the third heaven, but they're operating with the devil in the second heaven. They're being cast into the earth, and so that happens in Revelation 12. So, I think that's doctrinally what John is seeing here. And then, if somebody can read Revelation 6:15 through 17, I know we're kind of going deep and talking about a lot of things here, but let's read these last three verses and then we'll finish for today.
And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
Yeah, so, I mean, if we're saying that the tribulation is to bring about repentance, there's some people here that are being hardened, aren't they? It's kind of like Pharaoh. You know, Moses kept bringing these plagues on Egypt, and Pharaoh's heart got harder. And there's seven different people mentioned here in verse 15. These, the kings, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, the bondmen, and the free man. And they want to hide in the earth and under the rocks instead of repenting. And so that is kind of the devotional point for today, is just that you know, anything in our own lives that maybe God's trying to work in our hearts to bring about some change, you know, don't let our heart be hardened. You know, God's opening these seals, and we didn't even talk about the beasts that are killing people, and there's a lot here we could, like you're saying, TJ, we could dive deeper on, but these things are happening on planet Earth, and there's all the way from, you know, rich people and great people to poor people and slaves. They're all seeing the same thing, and they just want to hide and get away from the danger they're in. And that's understandable, but verse 17 says, the great day of his wrath is come. And I put at the bottom of your handout that for the church, you know, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are protected from that. And the teaching point right above it is they are totally hopeless and hardened. I think these are a point that Brian Hedges had in his notes. They do not say, forgive me, or have mercy, I'm sorry, or I didn't know. They want to hide as Adam did after his fall. They know they are working against God, and as brute beasts, they will stand against the very return of the God of heaven. So, anyway, if there's anything we need to repent of today, hopefully you will, and hopefully I will, and we'll just have our hearts right as we go to heaven together. Amen. Well, let me have just a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed today. And we'll pick up, we might hit on this a little bit of review next week. I know there's a lot of pictures, and I'm not real good at the... But we'll, and I'll try to make that printout this week, Pat, to give us that printout of those. So let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, I do bow my head and heart, and Lord, you know the things you're working on my life with, and Lord, help us to be your servants. even if it means, up to and including being martyred for you, Lord. And so we don't wish that, but Lord, help us to be willing. And sometimes it's maybe easier to think about dying for you than it is to live for you. So help us to live for you. Help us to know you better this week. Help us to I do want to praise you for bringing Brian Hedges back to us. I look forward to seeing him in the next service. Pray you'll anoint his message. I pray you'll continue to bring visitors, whether young or old, our way. Do have your good hand upon this church in these last days. Help us to be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope, and just a lighthouse to this community and all around the world. Thank you for your word that we have it. May we not be slack to read it this week. And bring us back together next week, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.